Well, it's good for us to turn our attention to God's Word. We've been watching the news with great interest these last number of weeks and these last number of days. And as we watch the news, we hear the reports. Coronavirus cases are increasing in the world, in the nation, in our state, in our county, in our own community. It's coming nearer and nearer to our homes. And so we find ourselves at times a bit unsettled, worried, distressed, fearful, anxious, and perhaps even at times somewhat down. Our circumstances seem overwhelming, and the predictions are that in the weeks to come, things will get worse. And questions start to rise in our hearts. How long can we stay at home? How long can we self-isolate? How long can we keep socially distant from others, from friends and family and those we love? How long can we go on living like this? How long, O Lord? How long? On top of this are the worries that can very quickly settle in and begin to take hold of our hearts. What if a loved one gets sick? What if I get sick? What if I have to be hospitalized? What if I need to be isolated? What if I need a ventilator? What if I die? And what if I die all alone? These are the things that trouble our hearts and make us anxious. And while we lean on the promises of God, sometimes we begin to doubt whether those promises are really for us. We know the promises of God are true, but how do we know those promises are for us? How do I know those promises are for me? Well, here is where we really need one another, where we need to be the family of God, where we need to be the body of Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit, where we need our brothers and sisters in Christ, where we really need to be the church. We need to be praying for each other, as we heard so wonderfully last Lord's Day. That's a marvelous way in which we continue to be the church and the family of God. But we also need to encourage each other with the promises of God. We need to encourage each other with the gospel. And that's what we find the psalmist doing here in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is an individual psalm. It's a psalm for a troubled believer, a psalm spoken from one believer to another troubled believer. It's a psalm for a believer who needs to know that God's promises are not just true in a general sense, but that they are true for him, that they are true for her. And so here is a psalm that tells you, dear Christian, that God's promises are for you. No matter how strong or how weak your faith may be, his promises are for you. The good things that God has promised are not just for others, but they are for you, and they are meant to encourage you. So look with me together for a few moments here at this beautiful psalm, Psalm 91. Notice the way it begins in verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. These first two verses are a bit difficult to translate. A better translation of these opening verses would go like this. He may dwell in the shelter of the Most High. He may abide in the shadow of the Almighty, who says to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. This then is a general statement made by the psalmist, and he's communicating to us that great truth that those who trust in the Lord have a place of protection. No matter what their circumstances may be, no matter what troubles surround them, they have a place of protection. They dwell in the shelter of the Most High. They abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Your place of safety, believer, is the presence of God. He is your shelter. You are covered by the shadow of his wings, and he is no weak God. He is no puny God. He is the Most High God. He is the Almighty God. This is the God of whom you may say, my God, my refuge, the one in whom I trust. This is personal. This is intimate. And that general statement that is made there in verses 1 and 2, the psalmist now takes and applies to a friend, to a fellow believer, to one who is troubled. And notice what he says in verses 3 and 4. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. This is the shelter and protection that God gives you. He delivers you from all that would harm you. The snare of the fowler, it's a trap that was set for birds. The deadly pestilence, literally the deadly thorn. These are the things from which God delivers you. And how does he deliver you? Well, you see it there in verse 4. He covers you with his pinions, and under his wings you find refuge. A certain image is in the psalmist's mind here, and it should be in ours as well, as the psalmist speaks about the wings of God, the feathers of God, the pinions of God. Certainly in mind here is the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark which had the cherubim above it, those cherubim whose wings came out and touched on the top of that ark. And what do the wings of the cherubim cover? Well, they cover the mercy seat. They cover the place where the blood of the sacrifice was poured out, covering over the sins of God's people. And the psalmist is saying to a troubled believer here, coming alongside him and saying to him, there is a refuge for you there. There beneath the wings of God, there at the mercy seat. And what is the mercy seat but the throne of God? Psalm 99 will go on to say that God is the Holy One who dwells between the cherubim. This is your place of safety. Your safety is nothing less than the presence of the living God, of the Holy God. His throne is your safety. That throne is a mercy seat for you. It's the place where your sins have been dealt with. It's the place where your judgment has been rendered. It's the place where your God says to you, you are welcome here. You find comfort in that, but sometimes your sins lead you to doubt that, and sometimes the circumstances of life lead you to question that as well. How do you know God won't change his mind regarding you? How do you know you won't mess it up? How do you know that these present afflictions are not a sign of his anger and judgment upon you? If you get sick with this virus, how do you know it's not God's judgment upon you? If you were to die from this virus, how do you know it's not God's curse upon you? Well, the answer to those questions is found at the end of verse 4. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. His faithfulness, God's faithfulness, is your defense against these doubts. God's faithfulness is your defense against these questions. When those doubts begin to arise in your mind, when those questions begin to arise in your heart, and you wonder if God has something against you, if he is bringing this upon you in judgment and in punishment and in curse, remember this, dear friend, God does not change. He is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to his word, and if he has once accepted you before his throne, if he has once covered you with the blood of Christ and clothed you with the righteousness of Christ, he will not go back on that word. He will not go back on his declaration concerning you. If he has declared you justified in Christ, he will not go back on that. You see, it's not so much your character that keeps you close to God as it is his character that keeps you close to him. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. And it's meant to be a shield and buckler to you at all times. Look at verses 5 and 6. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Note the interchange in these verses between night and day. How fitting that is, because sometimes your troubles are so great during the day, you can't wait for the night. You long to go to bed to simply put your head down on the pillow and forget about all the troubles of the day. But then when night comes, your mind won't shut off, and you think about all the troubles again, and you can't wait for the day to get up, for the light to shine. And so there's really no escape, it seems, from the troubles. They're there at day, they're there at night. Well, here is the answer to all those things. God's presence and faithfulness is what keeps you from fear. It keeps you from the fear of the things that trouble you in the day. It keeps you from the fear of the things that trouble you at night. Every morning you awake, dear Christian, you can awake knowing that His tender mercies are new and that they never come to an end. And every night when you go to bed, you can go to sleep knowing that His grace has been sufficient for you once again. And you can close your eyes knowing that He is your keeper, that He never slumbers, He never sleeps. He is your guard. And as your guard, He will keep you from harm. Look at verses 7 and 8. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Here is a distancing from danger. Danger cannot touch you. Danger will not come near you. God goes before you and behind you. God walks on either side of you. God carries you in His everlasting arms. God spreads His banners of love over you, and He will not move those banners. He is your shield, and He will not allow danger to consume you. And here's why, verses 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. Well, here in verses 9 and 10, we are reminded again that the psalmist is speaking to a discouraged believer. You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High, you have set Him as your dwelling. The psalmist here is reminding this troubled friend, this discouraged believer, of the confession that he has made and of the faith that he has put in the Lord. And he's coming to him and saying, because you trust in the Lord and find your safety in Him, no evil will be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. Well, of course, here is where the psalm becomes difficult, isn't it? Christians do get sick. Believers die. Coronavirus is no respecter of persons. It is no respecter of religions. There are brothers and sisters in Christ who are sick. And there are brothers and sisters in Christ who have died and will die. And yet the psalmist says here, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. So how are you to understand this? Well, you may get sick. The plague may afflict you. It may even take your life. But here's the thing. Death, the plague, sickness, this virus, if it comes to you, dear believer, it does not carry with it a curse. It does not separate you from God. It does not separate you from His love. Your dwelling place is the Lord Himself. He is your strong habitation. God has been your help in ages past. He is your hope for years to come. He is your guard while troubles last. He is your eternal home. Whatever adversity God may send you in this world, He will turn to your good. You are not only victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are more than a conqueror in Him. And we see that in verses 11 through 13. He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. God sets His army around you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they bear you up. You will not strike your foot on a stone. You will tread on lions and snakes. Well, here is imagery from the Garden of Eden, reminding us of the failure of our first father who did not raise his heel to crush the serpent's head. But then remember that Satan also came to tempt Christ. And Satan quoted these words from Psalm 91. But Jesus did not fail. He withstood the temptation. He remained obedient. He went to the cross, and with his bruised heel, he crushed the serpent's head. And because of that, you have the promise written for us in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan beneath your feet. You see, no harm can come near your dwelling. Spurgeon had a wonderful comment on this verse. He said, "Ill to the believer is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. No evil in the strict sense of the word can happen to him, for everything is overruled for good." Everything. When Paul prayed that God would remove the thorn from him, God didn't remove it, but he gave him a promise. He promised him that his grace was sufficient for him, and he promised him that his power is made perfect in weakness. What a beautiful promise from our Lord. Christ actually used that thorn to draw Paul closer to himself. You see, this is how God works. He works in all things for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. He doesn't send you adversity to harm you, but to help you. I don't know if I will get sick or if you will get sick. I don't know how death will come for me or how it will come for you, but I do know this, that no plague, no virus, no sickness, not even death, can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You see, God is the same loving Father towards you, whether you get sick or don't get sick. Who he is toward you is secured for you once and for all in Christ Jesus. Christ is your shelter. Christ is your defense. Christ is your strong habitation. Nothing can separate you from him. And he wants you to know that. Look at verses 14 through 16. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Notice in these final verses of our psalm, the final verses of this psalm, that the speaker changes here. It's no longer the psalmist speaking to the discouraged believer. It's the Lord himself who is now speaking to the discouraged believer. It is the Lord himself who is speaking to you. And even as he spoke in creation, creating the very things of which he spoke, so here in Psalm 91, he speaks to you, and by his mighty voice, he creates the very things of which he speaks. He creates comfort. He creates peace. He creates rest. In these beautiful verses, he makes seven promises, or you might look at it as one sevenfold promise, a perfect promise of perfect protection. Look at the promises he makes here in these last verses. I will deliver him. I will protect him. I will answer him. I will deliver him. I will honor him. I will satisfy him. I will show him my salvation. A sevenfold promise of God, a perfect promise of perfect protection, no matter what comes. And here also is the response of the believer. He holds fast to the Lord in love. He knows the Lord, not just knows about the Lord, but knows the Lord with an intimate knowledge. He knows who the Lord is, what he is like. And so he calls to the Lord. And this Lord is, of course, the great King. He is the great King who serves his people with the means of grace. You might go on and read Psalm 92, a psalm for the Sabbath day, as as our great King comes and serves us with the means of grace. But then go on also and read Psalms 93 through 99, a collection of psalms that celebrate God as the great King who is worthy of all praise. And so here is encouragement for us in our deepest and darkest times. We belong to the King. Our King came to this world to take our sins, to take our sicknesses, to take our disease. He entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to summon death and the curse and the judgment we deserve, to summon all of that to come and take him. He came to die for us that we would never bear that curse. We belong to the great King. He is our Father. His Son is our elder brother. His Spirit has taken up his abode within us. To be sure, we may not always understand his dealings with us. We don't have the full picture, but he does. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows every step we must take. He knows the path we must take. And he doesn't call us necessarily to understand, but he calls us to trust him, that he is and always will be a Father to us. We are indeed children of the King. As I was working on this psalm and preparing this message, I thought upon William Cooper, a man who struggled with much depression throughout his life, even thinking at times that God had predestined him to damnation. He struggled greatly with many, many dark times in his life. In the latter years of his life, he came under the ministry of John Newton. You may know John Newton. He is the one who wrote that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. And as Newton sought to minister to William Cooper and sought to help him in its times of great darkness and great despair and great depression, Newton encouraged him to deal with that depression, that darkness, the troubles that surrounded him, to deal with them by writing hymns. And Cooper wrote many hymns. Hymns that reflected on the character of God. One of those hymns is such a beautiful one and very fitting for us. It's the hymn that goes like this: God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy, and shall break in blessings on your head. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. You see, Newton was doing for Cooper what the psalmist did for a discouraged friend here, coming alongside him, calling him to think upon God, upon the character of God, upon the promises of God, telling him that all of God's promises were for him. Dear friends, let us do that also for one another. Let us encourage one another. Let us pray for one another. Let us bring the gospel to one another. Let us say to one another, God's promises are for you. And so when you watch the news in these troubling days, don't forget about the good news. Don't forget the promises of God to you. Nothing can change those promises, not sickness, not illness, not a virus, not even death. You belong to the King, and he has never broken a single promise, and he is not about to now. Dear believer in Christ, lift up your heart. All of God's promises are for you.